unicorns and babies and piggies and Teresa. Oh my God. Oh no.
What a creeper.
Kids can be adorable sometimes.
Oh my God, May. My sweet friend. Oh my God, I'm just like
Welcome to AE Double Back. Because Teresa is completely out of it, just got the sweetest text message, and so we want to drag you out of that. You seem too happy. And we need to stomp on your joy.
Oh, that's so funny.
It'd be funny if it weren't so true.
It's mm-hmm. so true. Mm-hmm. You have to not even give me a minute to soak it up.
No, because you keep doing that. And then the whole rest of the show, you'll be like, thumbs up. Everything was fantastic. I loved all of it.
That's give what me, you no. think I'm going to mm-hmm. say.
I need you to.
I took notes. So I won't forget that my good feelings now.
They're artificial.
Will not be transferred to the show we saw tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll let you have a little bit of that joy seep through. In the meantime. Please? I'm middling everything this episode. I'm still on my bullshit and okay. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Let's see. We got Mox versus Jeff Hardy. Now the announce desk said that fans have been asking for this match, and I really want to put it to the fans. Which one of you asked for this?
This is ruining our.
Did this.
Lapsed fans who last saw Jeff Hardy 15 years ago have been asking for this.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm mad about it or anything, but it's just so unlikely.
It does. Like, look, the Hardys were complaining they weren't getting used. Right. And so they got a real good match last week. You got this, you know, a real great booking this week. And it looks like they're doing something. Like, Jeff is turning heel.
He's flipping everybody off.
Weakest Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Technically, it's a flip off because of the attitude, the body language.
And the underarm cross.
He flipped with his middle and index finger up.
Making it a gun.
Which mm-hmm. is.
Which he does that in all of his promotional photos.
I guess. Yeah. But that's supposed to be a gun. And is this a. Are you. Flipping a gun at somebody?
Yeah.
Are
you? Fuck you, I'm going to shoot you, is what it's saying.
No, what it's saying, because I did this when I was 6 years old, you know, you're not allowed to flip somebody off with the middle finger. Yeah. So you put two up and then you're like, oh, I didn't actually flip you off.
What you should do is flip up three and say, read between the lines.
Oh, no, that's that's advanced shit. You don't get to that till seventh grade, all right?
You do the thing where you do an inverted middle finger and then you turn it up because they can't hear it.
There you go.
That is a full on adolescent thing. You don't do that till high school.
I think Jeff Hardy has completed high school, so this probably pertains to him as well.
Well, show me the diploma. Show me the diploma.
Yeah, but it's the underarm cross. That's how you know, because that in and of itself is a fuck you. It's like a old timey fuck you.
Oh, but people still use that thing. It. Right. You said underarm cross, so I was thinking of sort of like arms crossed, like underneath his armpits kind of thing. But yeah, you're talking about the, what do we used to call it?
Up yours or up. Fist up the ass. I don't know what it's supposed to reference.
You put your hand, your left hand into your ascending right arm into the crook.
Elbow,
we all saw it.
Well, no, because you explained it in a way I had no idea what you were talking about.
Okay.
So for people who...
But next time I should go into a longer, much more detailed description?
And, As though you were filing a trademark with the government.
There we go.
Look, if you are not using the term antecubital fossa, then whoa. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Did you look that up just now?
No, I almost did because I remember because it was like a big deal during the pandemic. Like you're supposed to sneeze into your into the crook of your elbow, and then like it was like a kid's cartoon or something like that was using that term and making a big deal out of it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to store that away for like 3 years down the road. Eventually it'll come up on a podcast. I'll be able to drop antecubital fossa and just
what
be
does that
like,
mean?
It means that, that crook in your arm, like the opposite uh-huh. side of your elbow.
Interesting. That I is don't, such I don't, a, it should be elbow and no bow.
Yeah.
It should be easy to
the
remember.
The opposite of L is no?
Sure.
What?
It just should be easy to remember.
L and N in the alphabet.
I feel
like it's a term that like only doctors use, so sure, they probably don't need to make it simplified.
Yeah, but you I mean, use the we the Latin people shit. Need to come up with it.
The opposite of an elbow is a no-bow.
Yeah. No-bow. Yeah.
Well, people do like when they're talking about the sneeze thing, they tell little kids they do a Dracula. So maybe
I don't think that's
going to
resonate.
It's kids are so stupid. They're not going to go into their elbows. What they're going to do is they're going to cross it, and their noses are going to be below their arms. So they're still going to sneeze out, right? They're not going to sneeze into their elbow. Because kids are very visual, and they're going to be like, this is how you do it. And literally their arm will be on their nose, just about on the bridge of their nose, uh-huh. while their nose is completely exposed.
Uh-huh.
This is all I'm saying.
You are...
If they really get into the character, it's not going to work.
I think that the thing we should all be doing is sneezing into the face of an enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You can't always have an enemy near you is the thing.
You're
the only one that's not keeping your enemies close. The rest of us took that adage to heart.
Wait a minute. Why are you both close to me right now?
Hey, I got to sneeze. Come on over. Anyways.
The police knew what was up.
Oh, she sneezed at him. Well, now we know.
Don't sneeze so close to me. Don't sneeze so...
There, okay, police. What? Took me a second.
Oh, you weren't okay. I thought you were just letting me sing because I have a gorgeous singing voice.
But I needed to know what it was.
You were just waiting around to figure out what it was.
Okay, yeah. But I get it. It all ties together.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how lean Mox is looking?
Sure.
Which honestly, I don't know. I feel like when he comes in looking doughy, he honestly looks a little scarier.
I don't know. I can't say that I noticed too much, but next time I'll pay closer attention.
Like he's had his ups and downs, and you know, like he's gone into rehab, and you know, like come back just you know kind of fleshier, and I you know I'm not here to be like.
When he came back from rehab, he was
he was super tight. Skinny then. Yeah,
he was.
Yeah,
packed.
But then like I feel like the second time around.
I don't know.
But like back in the day. Chuck Liddell was like at the top of the MMA world, and there were some people who were like, Jesus, man, like he's kind of doughy. What's the deal? And like, I feel like there was like sort of respect garnered for people who don't necessarily look terrifying. You know, like you look at a John Morrison or, you know, Brian Cage and like, oh my God, that guy's got all these muscles busting out, but then you see like a guy who doesn't have much and then all of a sudden you know reaches out and bites you and you're like, oh God, this is the worst ever.
Yeah,
he reaches out and bites you. What's he?
Yes. That was the AT&T logo they didn't go with.
Reach out and bite someone.
What is he, an alien?
I mean, look, if you had to cast a xenomorph from any of the AEW wrestlers, like how high up is Jon Moxley on your list? Because I would put him like two or three.
That's one of the craziest and neatest things about aliens is when like they open their mouths and then the little mouth comes out at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a surprise.
I mean, like, think of how many cookies you could eat at the same time.
Because you could have the big cookies and little cookies.
You could have layers of cookies.
What I would
you could have
what
chewy cookies on the inside, crunchy on the outside.
What I would do is if a xenomorph was going to try to get me, I would have a pair of garden shears and I would wait for it to do the mouth extension and I would like lop it off.
You know what I feel like probably isn't a great idea when you're facing off against a xenomorph? A, waiting around. B, cutting them. Either of those probably end pretty poorly for you.
Hey, I might be acid burned, but I'm alive.
Hey, yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
But are you?
I mean, are you alive or aren't you? There's only like
I'm
one way to
on
answer
the edge, so I must be super alive.
Fair enough.
You know, when you said back in the day, that's one of those phrases that like you just like it conjures a song. It's like you just can't help but finish it. That's all I wanted to say.
Why didn't you finish it?
I did. You guys weren't listening, and I don't mean for you guys to hear me when I do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But in case anyone faintly picked it up on the mic, that's what I was doing.
It was. It's really a joke for the NSA. Day,
when I was young, not a kid anymore, but some days I sit and wish I was a kid again. You
know, Calder said Living on the Edge, I almost started singing the Aerosmith song, except I hate Aerosmith so much, especially their like 90s output.
That just was the like the worst. Peak Aerosmith, though.
No, I mean, like the 70s stuff was actually pretty decent. The 80s was, not good, but it was.
80s and 90s was like peak Aerosmith. That was when they were at their zenith of popularity.
Yes,
yeah, they were as big as anyone at that time.
Yes, also yes, and they were.
I mean, they combined rap and rock.
They did
with
not
one song
they
with
ended,
Run
DMC. They ended racism.
and then, of course, Anthrax and Public Enemy did it much better after them.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, boy, bass. How low can you go? Death row. What a brother know. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme
Do
animal.
You know the Diggable Planets are playing this week.
The what?
The Diggable Planets are playing in LA this week.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm fucking pissed and sad. I can't go.
Why can't you go?
I'm pissed I didn't know about it earlier so I could have cleared my schedule and go and saved up for it.
Well, maybe you could tour around with them like the Deadheads.
or the fish maniacs.
The fish maniacs. I believe that is what they're called. Yes, the fish maniacs.
I was trying to think of what you would call them because I know that
fish crackers,
the Jimmy Buffett like people with parrot heads.
Wow. And you want fish mints? Okay.
Fish heads. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Fish heads.
All right.
All right, we've done enough of all this. Okay, the match happened. At one point, Jeff throws Mox into the crowd, and Cesaro is in the crowd.
Oh, my God.
From CMLL, and like all the, I think it was four other luchadors. So that was interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But then we find out a little bit of what might be happening. I thought this was an okay match.
It was definitely better than the swerve match last week.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought Jeff did a better job in this match than he did in the last one. And I don't know why, but I don't think that he... I think he still looks tired to me, but
Heavy pants.
But Mox also moves slower too. You know what I mean? So Swerve is very fast, and Mox isn't slow. I don't mean to say that, but he's not as fast.
More deliberate pace.
Yes, and so. It didn't comparatively look as slow this week. So that is helpful to someone like Jeff. who doesn't want to look like he's getting his ass handed to him within the first minute of a match. I was thinking
about this because the Chris Jericho match, like, again, I don't want to body shame or say, like, you know, you don't look good, or, you know, you're not working hard enough in the ring, that kind of thing. But, like, Jericho built his name on a really high flying, fast moving style. And I feel like he hasn't done enough to adapt to what his body is doing now. Like, he's still like doing this sort of like, hey, remember when I could do this kind of move? And it just doesn't work as well. I think Christian does a lot better job of that. Like he's adapted his style.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
And Jeff is just...
Jeff's doing his thing. He's working, you know.
He's fine, but like, psychology has never been his strong suit. Like, he's fine. He's been doing it for long enough that, you know, he can put together a, you know, a decent match, but like, his thing, it isn't there anymore.
What do you mean psychology?
Just like telling us a really compelling story in the ring. Like, I think that Mox is very good at that. Danielson is better than anybody, obviously. But, like, you know, like,
right.
Even if there's not a whole lot that you go into the match with, like, oh, God, I really want to see, you know, these guys fight. That they build a story and you're like, oh, God, I need to see how this ends. And you get excited because they've done that in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he does move, like, from thing to thing. Yeah. And this was – oh, wait, no, this – this later.
Thing one to thing two, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, at the end, we're like, okay, we're turning Jeff Hardy heel. But then they cut to him going up the ramp, and he's still like high-fiving, you know, fans in the audience. Like, God damn it. Just 5 seconds ago, you're like, I'm a bad guy. Don't.
That's the most dangerous kind of heel. The kind that smiles to your face.
It's difficult because, you know, you understand why he's doing it, but
don't have to like it.
Doesn't match with what they're trying to do, but yeah. Mox obviously wins, and then the luchadors from CMLL come out, and they start to beat up Mox, but then 2.0 and oh, what's his name?
It's Christopher Daniels.
Daniels.
No.
Oh, Matt Sydal?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Christopher Daniels. They break it up. And so that's... Wait, Christopher Daniels?
Yes? No? Am I wrong?
Why am I thinking, associating that name with someone else?
Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Anyway. Yeah. The eye, right?
Yeah. I got.
Yeah. Okay. Just.
I'm sure that's what he wants to be remembered for his career.
Look, I'm sorry, but it is the most amazing device that you've just been given. That is the coolest fucking thing. It's so fucked up, but it's like you could use it as such an amazing. I mean, you don't. It's not even a costume, you know. But like, you can make it part of a badass costume. Indeed. I want it to be like, this is my cyber eye for some shit.
Well, you could be the Terminator in the first movie where he has to like pull one of his eye, the damaged eyeball out and show the red Ooh. Part. Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? There's things you can do with it, and like, I'm not really me. I'm actually a cyborg, and there's a mouse. Or I'm just a robot and there's a mouse inside of me running things. And this eye is just a tinted screen that he looks out of from his command center in my head.
How did you combine Terminator with Ratatouille?
Hey, green light it.
But anyway, so I was actually thinking more of like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I was thinking. Anyway. So that's interesting. That may or may not turn into something. We don't know. I don't know what the story has been with 2.0 and Mox. So I don't know. And I don't know what's going on necessarily with Christopher Daniels. I know he's not a robot with a mouse controlling his body, but
not yet.
I mean, not yet. And I'm asking them to just think about it. You don't have to agree just yet. Just take it all in and think about it, Daniels. Just think about it. Anyway, I middled this match.
Sam.
Yeah, I did as well.
We got Hangman versus Toa Leona. Right about now, I was asking myself.
The Funk Soul Brother, we gotta check it out now.
Thank you. Funk Soul Brother. I'm wondering, where is Smart Mark Sterling? Where is he? What happened? Is he on the other nights and I just don't know?
I haven't seen him in a while.
I know. I haven't seen him since Jade left, I think. I actually can't remember, but I'm bothered because he is one of my favorite shining stars of AEW.
Yeah.
And so many people could benefit from his excellent work.
Yeah.
And what the fuck?
It's a good question. I do think that they have a number of good talkers out there. I mean, I think you got Stokely Hathaway.
But how often do we see him?
Don Callis. He comes out pretty regularly with Swerve. I'm thinking of Prince Nana.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't see. He's been doing a thing with Chris Statlander.
Trying to get her to sign with him or something.
If you only have one women's match a night, then you can't.
It doesn't really tell much of a story, does it?
Yeah.
Anyways, I wish Smart Mark could do something again because he was great. Anyways, so that was my thought going into this match. this is all right, you know. Hangman's trying to be a bad guy. Toa did a moonsault off the apron onto the floor because Hangman got out of the way, and I was like,
Hangman.
Sorry. Hey, remember when they did The Winter is Coming and the graphic looked like Wangman? That's great. They quickly fixed it, but I was like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Wangman, please, please let him remain Wangman.
Well, he kind of still is Wangman when he's with the Hung Bucks.
Wangman Wang Chung tonight.
Everybody, Wangman tonight.
So, I thought this was good. I do like seeing Toa Leona. Brian Cage got all up in there. Wait, no, that's a different match. What am I saying? That was a different thing. Never mind.
They just let Toa Leona go solo, and it was really good.
It was.
He did some no sells that just made him look like a monster. It still worked in the context of the match, and then made it seem like a significant thing when Hangman beat him. Which, considering that, Toa Leona doesn't have. I think they said that he doesn't have any singles wins. So who's going to win this match? I don't think there's any. Anybody thinking that Toa Leona is going to pull off the win. But, I mean, I felt it during the match. I'm like, oh, shit, maybe he could do it.
It would have been great. I knew because of what's happening with Swerve and Smojo, that it wasn't going to happen. But I really enjoyed it, and I give it a thumbs up.
Oh, by the way, there's another guy, Hangman Page, who can tell a story in the ring. You know, he gets guys over, and that's fantastic. I also thumb this up.
Oh, man. Matthew and Nicholas in stretch escalades, their suits and sunglasses. This is all I really noted. But they did fine a guy $500 for using their not birth certificate names. And I was like, shit, man, that's funny. That's so stupid, but funny.
That's probably a massive financial blow for that guy.
Honestly, that's what I thought. I was like, God, fuck, $500 by end of day? Shit.
The important thing is Nick said something about Matt's middle name, and I was like, oh, wait, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah,
I looked it up.
What is it?
His full name is Matthew Ron John Massey.
Ron John.
R-O-N-J-O-N. Ron John.
Ron John.
Ron John.
I wonder if that's like either a combination of two people's names out of tribute or like a last name. Like both of my brothers, their middle names are the last names of someone else in my family.
Yeah.
I don't have that problem.
You have different problems because your middle name is Teresa Ding Dong Gumprecht.
Of course.
Like it's... I don't know. It just seems a little slight to me. No gravitas.
Well, says the person who doesn't know what it's like to have Ding Dong as a middle name.
That is true. I do not know the feeling.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
The Ding Dong crown. Yeah. It's true. This was super fun.
I thumbs it up.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
We've got Undisputed Kingdom. Ouch! Fuck you! You bitch! Why?
This is what we've been waiting for all this time. Through the entire show, so it'll be like, oh, Ramona, you motherfucker! I will murder you! God damn it!
There's a really remarkable, like if you isolated all the moments where Teresa talks to the cat in this episode and string them together, like it's really a remarkable story.
See, I tell a story in the ring.
Look, if you get on our Patreon, we have Teresa Kitty Cat Talk Supercuts, and you can get entire episodes with just the cat talk.
Yeah.
Worth the money.
I wish I could get paid for something like that because that really would be.
Here's the thing. Patreon levels start at $140 a month.
Yeah. Wow.
So as soon as we get one, then we'll be rolling in it.
Yeah.
God, that's an entry level?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. Who are we?
Nobody. I mean, we're big time. I think everybody knows that.
Is that our middle name? Okay. Okay, so we got Undisputed Kingdom with Wardlow versus Commander. Adam Cole was on the announce desk. Okay, so Wardlow has a new move. It's a helicopter move.
He's done it.
He swings his penis
before,
around.
Obviously, no, that's daggering. He only does it with really small people, though. So, like, he doesn't do it that often.
Because there's something else he did. What else? Oh, he does this thing now where he puts someone up on the ropes and then knees them when they drop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, these two things are relatively, they're not imaginative, you know what I mean? So I don't mean to say they're simple or easy by any means, but they're not imaginative. So... like when he was doing all these powerbomb things and that's all he was doing, it was kind of, it was like, was that all he actually could do? Is he really like not good at doing other things yet? And now that he's getting better or learning more or whatever, now he's using these other things other than a powerbomb.
Yeah.
Because he only did one powerbomb at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's better. That's more entertaining.
Yeah.
This is just better. I am not saying I necessarily am Team Wardlow or anything, but I am not immediately cringing when he walks out. So, I don't mean to say that. I'm not immediately cringing when he's wrestling, these other things.
There are big opportunities there for somebody who does want to be Team Wardlow. I think there's a lot of room there to grow.
That's true. you know, he only has up, right? But it, Commander at one point did a flip onto Wardlow's neck. Wardlow was on the ground and he was in the wrong spot. And so when Commander did his flip, he landed on Wardlow's neck. And I was like, oh, fuck, dude. That's like your windpipe, man.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. It's not like your sternum and your ribs that are well, well protected. Fuck. So anyway, Wardlow wins, and then Roddy gets on the mic and he starts screaming at Commander. And I was pissed. But then Orange and the Best Friends and Rocky Romero come out to stop Roddy. And like, it looks like there's a standoff. But then Roderick says, thank you for coming out. See you. I was like, oh, that's funny. That's so stupid. yeah, that was good. So I actually middled the match.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Look, there are some people that are really good, real good big guys who are really good with little guys. I think Brian Cage is one of those, you know.
For sure.
And I don't know that Wardlow is, because it felt like there were a lot of times where it may have been Commander, but Commander generally isn't out of position. And right. So when there are so many spots where, like, you know, Commander's giving this drop kick and you're like, oh, wow, there's like 2 feet in between him and Wardlow. Like, you know what? Maybe that's kind of on Wardlow.
I think it's fair to customarily blame Wardlow. Yeah.
That's I try to.
He's the rookie.
Also, poor, I think it's Dasha who is doing the.
Yeah,
Mr. Wardlow. Mr. Mayhem Wardlow.
She actually biffed kind of twice because she had this weird delay like earlier than that even.
I felt bad for her too because no announcer wants to be the one that fucked up.
Yeah.
And especially in a type of career that really doesn't have a lot of women. You know, like it's only ever male announcers, right?
Yeah.
So, at least that I've ever personally experienced.
I think I've seen some women, but I'm sure on the whole, that's probably true.
You know, because there's always that one asshole that's like, see, I told you, women ruin everything.
I mean, here's the thing, like that role is real tough because you just got to like nail it in one. Like, mm-hmm. You don't get do-overs, and, you know, like, when Wardlow's just, like, a little bit off, you know, it's not like you can sort of come right back and sort of, you know, take care of it again, or, you know, just kind of, like, shimmy and kind of make it work. You just, you got, that 7 seconds to get everything out, and if you screw up, God help you, if you just flumbled your words a little bit like that.
Like what you just did, yeah.
Like what I just did. It's hard, so... Like when that happens,
hats off
I'm like
to Justin for always doing Kenny Omega's extremely long intro back when he had that really long one. That was so much fun.
Man with the golden throat.
Oh, man.
I also middled this match because, it wasn't that great. But there was fun stuff at the end. And like Roddy was
that was fun
on the mic.
Yeah, I middle it as well, and it's really not a terrible middle, but yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Sting and Darby doing a sit down with Shivani and Ricky Starks and Big Bill.
Ricky.
Ricky Starks is talking about respect. And he's got a bone to pick with Sting, and Sting's like, "Hey man, you know, you got to earn your respect." They had an awesome first match. Like when Ricky was Team Taz, he and Powerhouse Hobbs had a match with Sting and Darby. And it was one of those cinematic matches that was pre-taped. This was COVID era. So like, you know, we appreciated shit like this because it gave us the entertainment we desired without missing out on the loss of a crowd, which obviously matches really depend on, as we noted last week. But so, yeah, it was really cool. And anyway, they talked about that a bit. But, you know, I don't know. Darby is accusing Ricky of wanting to attach himself to Sting's legacy. And Ricky's like, what? You've been attached to Sting. Are you kidding me? And, you know, he's not wrong. Not that Darby wasn't doing his own thing and successful in his own right, you know, but it is kind of funny that, like, yeah, he really, really got pushed into a whole other stratosphere with Sting. They get really special intros. I don't know. They just get lots of stuff because it's Sting, right? I mean,
discounts
of course.
At rent a car.
I mean, yeah, and those trucks they rent and drive out to the desert with.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, and I think it would be neat. It would be a neat symmetry to have like one of Sting's, one of his last matches with Ricky, right? Being that one of his first at AEW, or his very first actual match at AEW was with Ricky.
Yeah.
So that's neat.
Agreed.
I think that like one of Sting's final matches should be something really stupid, like something on the level of the Mimosa Mayhem match. I think like yeah. it would be fun to throw away one, you know, not the last one, but one of the last ones. It would be funny to throw away on something like that.
Just some really ridiculous. Yes. They almost fought here, and it was really funny because Ricky was just like, come on, man, come on. Like, and that, my brother used to do that kind of shit to me. And you're like, you are so extremely punchable right now. And my rage, like the blood in my face, I can feel it. And like, I am so close to something I'm going to regret. And you're smiling at me. And you're saying, oh, you want to, oh yeah, hit me, oh yeah, do it, you should try it, or whatever, just being so fucking annoying and awful, and just makes your blood boil even more. They're smiling at you, how fucking dare you, I'm so mad. Oh, so that was like peak antagonizer Ricky. Because we all know that, I would like to think, I don't know. I assume it's a universal situation when you're pissed off and the person you're pissed off at is smiling at you. Oof.
Infuriating.
Yes. Just basically canceling your feelings. Ugh.
But I then wouldn't Sting know. Was like, I don't get mad at people.
Well, and then Sting was like funny because he's like, just trying to be all cool about it, but like he was losing his cool. You could tell they were like really almost gonna beat the shit out of him, but they're trying to be cool about it. I thought it was very well done. All of this was great. I give it a thumbs up.
I thought it was good. They had some decent intensity, but like lately I've just been like, if it doesn't wow me, I'm not going to give it a thumbs up. If it does what it's supposed to do, it's going to get a middle. So this one gets a middle. It's perfectly acceptable.
It's a thumbs up for me.
We all thumb this. You thumb it, Calder?
Yeah, I did.
You just did.
Okay. Just making sure. I thought I heard it, but then I was like, kind of, never mind.
Maybe I hallucinated it.
I was daydreaming.
But a whisper on the wind.
Chris Jericho versus Kyle Fletcher.
I was so excited when it was Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah. He's so good. It's such a stark difference, too, between them. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I don't even know.
Well, yeah,
say.
Like their body types are obviously pretty disparate at this point.
And this is sort of what I was thinking back to the Jeff Hardy match. why didn't he just put on a shirt? Like, Jericho has done so much to create iconic looks that I still have a shirt that we call the Jericho shirt because it looks like a Chris Jericho shirt. It's like super iridescent and shiny and like blue and like it, you know, like the light bounces off it in all sorts of crazy different ways. Like when you think of Chris Jericho, you think of that sort of big flashy outfit. If he were wearing that sort of thing in the ring, no one would mind. But I think he's feeling like, you know, I could still go. I'm still just as, you know, muscular and awesome, you know, as I was when I was 22.
And how old is he?
He's 52.
I'm sure he's like well above average for someone in his 50s.
Oh, unquestionably. And yeah, I mean, for his age, he's 53 years old. He looks fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. But also, he's in the ring with a bunch of 22-year-olds who are at the peak of their physical condition. And yeah, like, he is not that anymore.
See, I wasn't even trying to body shame the guy. I was just saying, like, the styles are very different, like, as far as how they wrestle.
Well, no, unquestionably. And but that's also what I'm saying, is that he used to work a style like Kyle Fletcher. And
yeah.
Rather than doing something different, like if he developed like a brawler style, like a Jon Moxley, we would buy it, you know, because he's Chris fucking Jericho. But he still is trying to be, you know, flippy doo-dah kind of guy, which, you know, I don't want to say he shouldn't do it, but I just feel like there's so much he's leaving on the table that he could, you know, evolve and actually, you know, continue to be a presence.
Yeah, I just want heel Jericho, like extreme heel.
That too.
Yeah.
He was on the announce desk a lot at the, you know, during the pandemic. So funny.
Yeah.
So good. And just hated everybody.
Because if he were doing exactly what he's doing, if he looked exactly like he looked and went out and was like, I am the greatest. I am so good at this that I could just walk around here with a gut and, you know, you idiots are still going to, you know, lap it up. That would be perfect. But he's trying to be a face right now. And I
don't like this face business.
No,
yeah, it's just not as fun. And I'm just bored. I get bored with him. And that is something I never thought I'd say about Chris Jericho. Yeah. You know, because he's just famously not boring. But yep. I thought the match was decent. It was okay. Jericho wins, which I was like a little flabbergasted by, but I'm like, I feel like this is all so predictable. Everything has been so predictable that it's getting boring. Like, they just never let him lose? Is that it?
I'm super disappointed in this because the first match, you're like, oh, hey, what if Jeff Hardy actually beat a former AEW champion?
Yeah.
And then the next match, what if Tua Leona actually beat a former AEW champion?
Mm-hmm.
And here, like, Kyle Fletcher, what if you? I'm like, this is a rule of threes. If you're going to keep harping on it, fucking pay it off.
Yeah. And
you could legitimately have Jericho lose here because all
Kyle
of the
Fletcher,
powerhouse is there. Don Callis is there, and they're interfering blatantly in the match through the match. You could easily have him lose. Mm-hmm. Why would you not do that?
Yeah, it's just, that was just very frustrating.
It's fucking disappointing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, the when Fletcher does the taupe to the outside, he's supposed to run into Jericho's Judas effect. And at first, I thought it was just some awful European uppercut that he kind of botched. And then when they said, like, oh, that was a Judas effect, I was like, oh, that is 100% the director's fault, because he didn't give us any time to see what he was doing, and it just looked terrible.
Oh.
So, I don't know, that's like a little nitpicky thing, but I think of that when, you know, my brain isn't completely devoted to the match.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're, look, it's not a nitpicky thing, because if you're going to expand to different nights of the week and like a million pay-per-views and whatever the hell else they're doing, like, you might want to tighten up the products first.
Yep.
And, you know, I, as much as like I have issues with WWE for some things, I do think that they have room. They're allowed to criticize AEW for things like this, where it's just not a tight ship as far as the production value, you know?
Yeah.
I love the matches. I tend to love the matches. I tend to love everything at AEW, but I do get annoyed with some of the cutaways when it's something important, like not showing something that they have to then go back and have to do in a rerun because they weren't showing it.
It's a hella hard job, and it's
absolutely
harder than that same job at WWE, because they don't book the shit out of their matches and, you know, sort of put the matches on rails so they can get the better camera shots. But also, if you are going for that higher difficulty, you got to meet that bar. Otherwise, you're just failing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So, anyway. Wait, did we thumb that?
I middle it.
I middled it.
I middled as well. We got a Deonna Purrazzo promo talking about how she got the tattoo. And boy, we got some awesome photos of the two of them, her and Toni Storm, when they were young, whenever the fuck that was. And I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I was like, oh my God, they look so different.
They missed out on having the way we were playing.
Memories. Like the corners of my mind. All right. I thought this was a great promo. And now we know how they got those tattoos.
Yep.
They were just dumb things they just did. Just because.
Like so many tattoos.
Wheel duckies.
I thumbs it up.
Yeah, me too.
I did as well. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Okay, so we got the gang gang bang.
Yes, we've got do.
We've acclaimed. Got the
gang bang, gang gang,
gang
bang,
bang,
bang, bang, gang. What
and
I
we
say?
Should definitely.
Did I say bang gang gang?
You said gang bang.
You said the gang gang bang, which is what they're now called forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's a gang gang bang. Oh no. No. The Bang Bang Gang and the Acclaimed. And they pull out Jay White's cutout. And they're like, no, we fired that guy weeks ago. And they're like, oh, get the juice board. Pull out a cutout of Juice Robinson. I'm dead.
Rock card Juice Robinson.
Oh, rock hard. It's so ridiculous. And like the fact that the boys are calling their dad again is fun. And now they're the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
This is happening. It's happened.
It already done happened.
And as much as I don't want them to detract from the menace that is Jay White, I mean, I can't say this isn't fun because we are missing Brochachos. So we're getting a version of Brochachos
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just like the second set of sheets for when you're washing the first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's never your favorite, but it'll do.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, my heart did melt a little bit when they said, I got two words for you. And he was like, no, you know, it's a new era. The two words are not suck it, they're guns up. I was like, oh, made me warm and fuzzy. I'll say this. I will give this segment, I will let this segment happen once. This is everything that I am opposed to. It's super sports entertainment-y. Like, there was no wrestling. There's so many people in the ring just, like, doing nothing.
It's a skit.
It's a skit, which is not a good thing in wrestling. It almost never is. And it's the same thing. Like, I love the Acclaimed, but they have one bit, and they do it every week. And it just is same over and over again. But because we haven't actually done both these teams in the ring and just doing their thing with each other completely fully, we've just had little bits here and there. I will allow them to do it once.
Yeah.
I will thumb this segment up once.
Mm. Yes.
If it happens a second time, it's getting down, and it's getting it down forever and ever and ever until death.
How magnanimous.
I have a similar feeling, although I don't know if I'll ever down it. But then again, I don't know how I'll feel on the day. So, but I will say I thumb this up, but it's not something I want to see often. I don't, you know, whatever.
I don't generally have a problem with skits as long as it lands. Like, that's the risk. But
yeah,
like
if
it works, it works. Like, I don't have some kind of a quota that they can't go beyond. But I did like this one.
Fair enough.
All right. So now we've got Toni Storm on the announce desk because we've got Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie. Okay, Donna had an Deonna. I don't know why I keep wanting to say Donna. Deonna had an amazing outfit. I thought it was so cool looking. But then Taya Valkyrie and Johnny TV come out.
Jesus Christ, she looks like such a fucking star.
Well,
Johnny TV's jacket. Did you see his fucking jacket? Did you see what's on the back of his jacket? The tiger?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I was like, I'm going to rip that off your back and run. So beat me up. Anyways, I thought this was a great match. I thought Taya played so well to the camera, too, which I feel like in previous iterations, like, I don't think she felt like she could have fun because the character was like a badass, which she is, of course, a badass. Like, that's just sort of inherent. But I think, I don't know. I think the vibe of the women's division, they had that, but they didn't have anyone that's like a badass, but also playful. I'm trying to think of who else could have been that.
Well, you know who was forgetting. Like that to me was Ryo Mizunami.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have said Nyla. There was a point there where she was just like,
that's fair.
Being silly, but also she's always terrifying regardless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So her being silly kind of made her scarier.
Bunny, I'd say that's kind of her shtick too.
Yeah,
kind of. Like this
be great
lunacy.
If any of these people were on the fucking air.
Yeah. But so I thought like she sold herself much better than previously. And like I said, there's a huge difference between seeing her as we had seen her on AEW versus seeing her live. Then so I'm seeing more of like what makes seeing her live so awesome. I started seeing that more here. And plus Donna, great person to be up against.
Deonna.
I don't know why.
Gang gang bang.
That's where I'm at today.
I think you're picking up the bug from
Dasha
the announcer.
Had? Yeah. Me and Dasha shared a lift. anyways, I love Deonna Purrazzo too. I thought this was a great match. But what joke did Tony tell that had those guys dying laughing? I tried to listen several times and I couldn't pick it up. But they were wheezing.
During the break, first off, Tony Storm kept up the thing where she confused Shivani for Ian Riccaboni. Still going, killed me. During the break, she started going to like, who does your makeup? Or maybe it wasn't during the break, but she was like, who does your makeup? Anton LaVey. Then Taz follows up with Benjamin Moore, and both those fucking slayed me. She was like, shouldn't you be wearing the mask, Shivani, not Excalibur?
Maybe that's what it was.
Going on how Taz is supposed to call it a souplet, not a soup.
Oh, yes. That was good. She also called him Mr. Tasmaniac, which...
Mr. Tasmaniac.
The Tasmaniac. Remember that cartoon?
Yes.
So, yeah. I also had that also, Sega game.
Peter Sinertia first got into professional wrestling, his first ring name was the Tasmaniac.
Hmm.
I figured that's where Taz came from.
Yeah.
When she said that, I was like, that's where it comes from. Shit. Because, of course, in the 90s, when he first started, that was like a big thing. The Tasmanian devil was everywhere. And so the Warner Brother characters.
I had a Marvin the Martian shirt that I wore way too much.
Mm-hmm. I knew a girl that got a Marvin. My freshman year of high school, there was some girl in the bathroom being like, oh, my God, look, I got this. Da, da, da. She had a Marvin the Martian tattoo on her tit. Wow. And I was like, whoa. But I was also thinking, like, oh my God, Teresa, this is a cautionary tale. Make those choices.
I would still be proud to have a Marvin the Martian on my tit today.
Now, I tell you what. Now you would. In 2023, you would. Yeah. But for all those 30 years between, you would be mortified. Okay? Because it's back in now.
I am going to go get him. No, because like I said, I was into it back then and it would be great. You know, I will go get one. Fuck it. For my birthday, I'm going to go get a Marvin the Martian tattoo.
There was a guy who was bragging about his tattoo. He's like, want to see it? I'm like, okay. And he turns around and lifts up his shirt and on an upper back, he has a Tasmanian devil holding up a no fear sign, which is the most 1993 tattoo you could possibly get.
Oh boy.
And or whatever year it was, I don't remember. I was in middle school, I know that. But and I was like, I'm so glad he can't see my face right now because he's turned around. And I was like, because I'm mortified for you.
Could he hear it in your voice? Like,
what the fuck? I mean, just stuff like that where I'm like, you're really putting yourself in a very specific time and place. And I guess I just don't like tattoos like that. I prefer larger concept tattoos where, like, I don't know. Maybe it's something you like, sure. But is it a fad that you like?
Yeah, that's always the fear I have.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I'm half joking, but also I fucking will get a Marvin the Martian tattoo. I'll go out and do it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, then give us a picture.
What she said, again, I don't remember if it was during commercial or not, but she said that under Excalibur's mask was Sean Mooney, who was a fucking WWF broadcast. He was like one of the interviewers, announcers back in the 80s.
Oh my God.
And that was breaking all of them up.
That must have been it.
And then when Excalibur called him Jeff Harvey instead of Jeff Hardy, I think it was Taz who was like, you're Mike Adamly. You're not Sean Mooney. You're Mike Adamly. Who was like another just like old school wrestling broadcaster that I mean, it feels to me like it was unscripted and all of them were just laughing because there's like the stupidest fucking references in the
world.
They
were all going off the rails.
They were dying. So I'm a fan of all of that.
I love hearing those guys laugh. It's like one of my favorite bits to
I'm telling you, man, during the commercials, they get loose and they just get silly.
And Benjamin Moore does his fucking thing. That's funny. okay, so then Deanna wins.
Yes.
Which, you know, makes sense. But boy, am I happy that Taya and Johnny TV are like making strong, bold statements. And they fucking should be together.
It. Yes.
Like it makes sense. Like Taya by herself is great, but like their dynamic together is so fun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They just have this flashy over the top thing. And again, like the smooching on them works.
Yes. Where
it doesn't with most people who do that gimmick.
It doesn't come across as like we're trying to be lewd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when Ty and Sammy do it, it's like they're trying, and so they make it gross and they're trying and like just very try hard. Whereas they're not you don't get that vibe from this, but it is over the top.
It's very gimmicks confident feel making living. Out.
Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying?
Cool. Oh, I said it was confident making out.
I know, but Robert said something and
I don't even remember what I said anymore.
Oh, okay, never mind. I couldn't hear it, so I was trying to give you the opportunity, but you know what?
No.
Moving on.
Opportunity rescinded.
I thumbs it up.
Same.
Renee, she's talking to Darby Allin, and she asks him about his admiration of the Young Bucks. And he's just like, has this, look. And then the fucking the Young Bucks come out, and they're like talking to Darby, and basically they're trying to get him to like tag with them as a trios, and they're like, yeah, you know, Sting's great, whatever, but us, you know, blah, 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 we're so great. Remember when we wrestled that one time and da-da-da-da and all this stuff? And they were wearing headsets, which really made me laugh because, like, that's just...
That is the equivalent of Paulie Dangerously back in the early 90s with that huge brick cell phone. The vibe it conveys is so great.
Yeah. You know, they're like, I don't know if anyone has ever worked retail where you have to wear a headset.
Oof.
No.
It's the worst. Normally, I was not the person that had to do that. But one time, someone wasn't available, so I had to. And they're like, you have to listen and then, like, respond to anytime you're needed. Or something. I mean, it's this cacophonous bullshit of like shouting of like things, and most of which have nothing to do with me, but then I'm also supposed to like sell product. So I basically turned it off and I just had it on. Because like, I can't do this and do my job at the same time. You're not paying me extra, so no. Anyway, I don't know how people do that. And like, it's just too distracting. There's no fucking
way. It really
gives
you some admiration for like, at least on the WWE side, like for the commentators that were able to do their job with Vince in their ear. I wonder how much that happens in AEW. It doesn't seem like they ever have to be listening to somebody because they're really present with each other.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, like, they're wearing, like, production headsets. So they are listening, you know, when you do that production stuff. You do – lighting is talking to camera talking to stage manager, blah, 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 all that, you know. So there is a lot of conversation going on. But, like, it's everyone's on their toes. So it's more – it makes more sense that everyone's – listening and responding as opposed to just like, oh, you're doing something completely different. Let's have you do all this, blah, blah, blah. Well, whatever. Actually, I don't know how much the cameramen get, have that kind of stuff in their ear. Maybe there's one on the floor that would have an earpiece, but I think for the most part, they let the camera guys do their work. But the feed, the feed is being communicated.
Well, maybe sometimes they're just listening to tunes.
You know?
Yeah, just rocking out, man.
Yeah. Or maybe somebody, one of them, turn it off. Anyway, so those headsets that they were wearing were like these executive producer headsets, which was so funny because I was like, oh my God, would it be funny if it like Renee starts saying all this weird stuff and then it turns out they're just like in her earpiece the whole time. Kind of like that one show. That would be a real fun gimmick. What's that one comedy show where like they make people say jokers? Stuff? That's it.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking of was when David Letterman used to do it with Rupert G.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know that. Anyways, I gave that a thumbs up because I thought it was funny.
I was really interested because, there was something about the sit down with Darby and Sting and Ricky and Bill that made me think about this segment here. I think it would be absolutely fantastic. There have been rumblings that this might happen.
I was thinking of Absolutely Fabulous, the show.
Yes. To make Darby and Sting into a Patsy and Adina characters. Just have them stumble in drunk to the revolution. It would be great if Darby turned on him. If he did, like, say, yeah, you know what? I do need to take this next step of my career and join the Young Bucks and be like this shitty LA Hollywood, you know, kind of agent type person. It would be, you know, like an amazing turn at the pay-per-view and during the retirement and all of that. And then B, it would give Darby a completely new dimension that he doesn't have now. I still do love his thing of like sort of a straight edge punk kind of like authentic guy. But also, we know what happens if you keep doing that for too long. What? You start tearing your tricep.
Huh? What are you referencing right now?
I'm referencing someone who has not had good luck recently, who left town and tried to make a big splash somewhere else, then immediately tore not the tricep that they tore when they were working at AEW, but the other tricep.
Are you talking about CM Punk?
What? No. Who's that? I've never heard of the guy. Oh,
I didn't know this happened. Yeah. So wait. Wait a minute.
I'm going to let it sink in. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying that Darby Allin might turn into Phil Brooks.
If you keep doing that authentic straight edge gimmick forever and ever and ever, like eventually you just become a parody of yourself. Hmm. Mix it up. Be like a shitty heel for a while. Just like let that be a thing.
Oh man, I think it's kind of funny.
I think it's kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the worst I've ever had. Best
are the best I've ever had.
Sorry. Mad world.
Fucking Phil Brooks. He's injured again. I think the universe is trying to tell him retirement is really a good option.
I do not wish injuries on anybody, not even him. But it's, ooh, that's some colossal bad luck right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. Shit. He's fucked his body up in three different pretty significant places. Like, he's only been back for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Then again, I would have been that in my first week. In fact, I would have had a heart attack just getting into the ring.
Yeah.
Guessing on how well I do on stairs, I'm just going to say.
I would have definitely tripped at the top of the ramp, rolled all the way down, cracked my skull open, and died.
Yeah.
You would have been a real shock master.
All right. So we all thumbed that, right?
I thumbed this up because I thought it was great.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We got Samoa Joe on the announce desk. We got Swerve. And that immediately was like, where the fuck is Nana? And then the announcer reminded us that he was injured. And I was like, oh.
Well.
Yeah, okay. I get it. Okay.
They should have had some kind of less adequate substitute trying to do the dance.
Yeah, Brian Cage should have come out and tried to do the dance.
I mean, the crowd did a decent job.
Everybody loves it.
Not as well as when Nana's there, but
yeah, it's a participation thing that is getting almost as over.
Doesn't even need it because, like, you immediately want to dance when that song comes on.
Yeah,
and he can be still menacing and come out. He doesn't have to do jack shit.
Nope.
He's engendered these good feelings, and they still exist. Even when Nana is not there, and I am not saying Nana should not be there because he absolutely should, because I love him so much. But I think he absolutely adds a lot of stuff to, you know, the shenanigans, to the energy, blah, blah, blah. But my point is they've already got into our psyche, and Swerve literally doesn't have to do anything anymore. He's like in a really good place.
Embedded in us like so much microplastics.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to pass it on genetically to any children. And then all the eggs that I have inside of me, if I have a baby and then if that baby is a girl, while I'm pregnant, that baby actually develops all the eggs they will ever have in their lifetime. So that means all the plastic in me is going to be in my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, plastic forever. Carrying on the
legacy.
Plastic forever. Plastic forever. As I look at my She-Ra dolls. Anyways, so.
Shouldn't have swallowed so many.
Swerve. People are like, ooh, who's he going to be against? Who's he going to be against? Hangman chose.
I mean, they made it pretty clear during the commentary. Tipped so
it pretty hard.
Rob Van Dam.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
indeed. And Hangman's like, I get to choose what kind of match it is. It's a hardcore match, which I'm like, that means nothing to me.
Well, I think it's funny, but because
a tutti frutti match, and I wouldn't know.
Should have been. Well, like making it a hardcore match is weird because it's as if Swerve had amply proved himself in the water and Hangman declared that it was a swimming pool match. We've seen Swerve have the
blood and guts,
the gnarliest matches ever. Like, he's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
This is nothing compared to what he's already done.
I think some of it is just sort of a nod to Rob's history in ECW, and half of their gimmick matches are basically hardcore matches just with different names, because the only difference is the rule is you can use weapons. That's it That's all of them. But I tell you what, the way they announced it, that when Hangman comes in and is like, I just want you to know, you dumb, you could have, made it a gimmick match, but I'm going to make it a gimmick match. It's going to be a hardcore match. And the way they did that, the execution of it popped me hard. It felt like a, oh, damn. And it made total sense with the characters. Love Rob Van Dam. God damn it. He made so many of my favorite memories of the late 90s. Mm-hmm. But he's 25 years older than that now. He's not going to win this match. But then you add the hardcore thing. You say it like that, that is a hardcore match. And I'm just like a weapons match, like a hardcore match. Remember when Rob Van Dam was the meanest motherfucker on the planet? When he held the TV title for years, like when he was a fucking god in that ring. And I was like, oh shit, this, like, I'm in it. And yeah, the whole match, I was just like, this feels real good.
I thought it was a great match. Yeah. Okay. I love a crowd that chants, but I don't remember. And again, I was even trying to think of it while I was watching. I was like, have I just not heard the crowd? But I don't remember them chanting much tonight until they were shouting, "We want tables."
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And they shouted Rob Van Dam. But I don't remember them shouting anything else all night.
During the Jericho Fletcher match, they did chant, "Where's your socks?" to Don Callis, which is magical.
That's right.
I guess that I would say that I place very strict parameters on what I'm comfortable with a crowd chanting. But, you know, that said, there are some good ones.
So Brian Cage came out at one point to try and fuck shit up, but Hook came out.
Mm.
And so Brian Cage couldn't fuck shit up the way he intended to. And they, you know, went off somewhere.
Yeah. Just smooch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought this was a great match. And I really liked that Rob Van Dam came back, you know, or.
Yep.
Yeah. Did I say Rob Van Dam? Now I'm worried I'm saying everything wrong.
You said Dick Van Dam.
Van Ram?
Dick Van Dam. You said Dick's Appliances. So, anyways, yeah, I give it a thumbs up. But there's this after stuff. Hangman, okay, Swerve wins. Hangman comes out with a microphone. And I thought that Swerve really shot Hangman down, just really like shut him down. Because Hangman says this whole thing, and Swerve's like, "You just don't get it. I already beat you twice. I don't care. I have nothing to prove to anybody. I just want to get the belt, blah, blah, blah." Then Hangman said something else, and I forget what he said, but it pissed him off. Swerve was like, "You're just jealous," or whatever. And then when Swerve got angry and agreed to the match, no one cheered. And I was like, because nobody wants this. Nobody wants
this. I want it.
They even said, like, we want – they're like, "Okay, we're going to do this one more time, and then I am done," he said. "So we're going to, you know, match number three."
It's, well, yeah, I get that. And I'm very shocked that they're having this match on Dynamite, because it felt like they were building this towards the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, that they are having it on Dynamite is sort of like, splitting the difference there. Like, okay, fine. We won't make it the big pay-per-view match.
That's a month
but we're
away.
Still going to have a blow off. You know, so because I just really love the chemistry between these two. Like I've said it before. And like, I understand why you wouldn't want to keep seeing the same goddamn thing, you know, week after week. But also, I really like it. So
that's fair.
Yeah. What about you, Calder?
I thumbs it up. I thought it was great.
Okay. How do you feel about match number three between Hangman and Swerve?
Well, I'll be into that. Like, I don't think it's something I'm tired of just yet.
I thumbs the match up. I am one of the people that I really don't care. I don't care about this feud. I don't know why. I just don't. I feel like I got it out of my system when they were ripping each other's faces off.
Well, that's let me ask fair. You this. That's Do you fair. Think that there is a way in which one or both of them could menace children even further that would get you back in?
No, because I feel like I've witnessed enough now that there's certain. I can't even go there.
Yeah.
It's
what pretend. What if you got a text message right now that said, "Oh my God, Swerve is in the house and he's menacing our child, the one who just said such sweet things to you."
My little Maymay. No. Get out of her shark tent, Swerve. I'm going to have to beat you up, Swerve. Oh. God, she's so cute. All right.
Anyway, this is an 85% show.
All right.
Despite me and I guess also some of us, too, just being real mid about the thing. Like, there's some good stuff in here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say so. That women's match was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. More. Maybe multiple new women's matches even.
More than one? Like, fuck.
I mean, there were two women's matches on Collision, so slowly but surely, maybe.
I guess.
I'm happy if they just make Collision an all-women show.
Wow. There's
no problem with that.
That's hefty.
Maybe hefty not doofty. Collision. Maybe Rampage.
I mean, Rampage seems like what they would do.
Yeah. But here's what I want. I want three women storylines per episode. However you do it, however you split it out.
Have you heard of this thing called the glass shelf?
No,
I have not.
It's when a failing company, like they're failing, they will appoint a woman CEO.
Oh, basically, yeah, I've heard that.
To let it basically crash under her. And so then I don't know if they do it to try and gain points before the company goes AWOL or if it's to then say, see, we tried women and they suck. When the thing is that they appointed a woman to a position that was like, there's not a single person on the earth that could have made it work. That the fucking company was in flames. Yeah. But anyways, if they gave women Rampage, it would feel like the glass shelf situation. Because from what I've heard, Rampage doesn't get as many views.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like... I would absolutely show up for that, but I also feel like
because it would be very different and interesting if they were to do that, right?
Yeah, and what I want is like different takes. Show me different stuff,
and I'd be able to finally see like stories for these women and like actually get to know their characters and let their characters change and go on journeys and I don't know, cool shit.
Also, I feel videos. Like there would be a segment of the audience that would be like, ew, girls, and just not watch it specifically.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a fantasy I have, a wonderful dream that will never come to fruition.
Yeah.
Anyhow, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week, probably.
No doubt.
Bye.
Bye. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, 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 ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.